You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
I don't know. We have to realize that it's not a good versus evil thing.
That's a whole other conversation.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Welcome to this Wednesday, the 4th of December's edition of the round table. Why are you making faces?
No more Kathleen Wynne in the intro. I'm back, baby. It's my house now.
Pull rank, man.
My house now.
Pull rank. Please welcome to our round table from the pole position, Mr. John Paul. Hello, John.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Joining us as always, a pleasure, Laura Stone. Laura, how are you?
I'm great.
And in studio, Mr. Trevor Mayo. Hey, Trev.
How's it going?
Good.
Let's start off with what we just talked to Lucas about. A wide-ranging Auditor General report had to do with all sorts of different things, from how the Ford government is not necessarily on track when it comes to their environmental plan, more money being poured into the healthcare system, but still longer waits happening. We've heard horror stories about people having operations on the wrong limb when they get wheeled into the OR. Laura, you covered this, I'm going to guess, today. What was your main impression as to what the Auditor General has highlighted in this report?
Well, I think certainly the environment took precedence today, although, as you mentioned, there were tons of other topics covered, from health care to disability payments to patient safety. But environment is really big, and it's really interesting coming off this federal election campaign where the federal Conservative Party is doing a lot of soul searching about their climate change plan and whether they need to basically go back to the drawing board on that, seeing as how they did in Ontario and Quebec. So here, I mean, basically, the Auditor General took the government to task, saying that the targets that they've set are not supported by sound evidence, and they actually measured them based on some programs that the provincial government then canceled. So I think that was recognized by the government today, who said, you know, listen, we understand climate change is important, and that conservatives have to show that as well. So they have their work cut out for them on this one, absolutely.
Yeah, Trevor, no surprise there. You know, when a government comes in, they have high hopes for their plans to be put in place. You know, some of the healthcare stuff, even the judicial stuff that we've been talking about this afternoon, the idea that our courts basically work for about 2.5 hours in a day. This brings a big list of improvements that need to be done by this government soon. You know, they got to get on this immediately.
So I will pump the partisan brakes just for one moment, and I will say AG reports are super important because they highlight gaps for every government. So a lot of the things that I'm reading here, I don't read as being heavily partisan, and I wouldn't necessarily flog the current government over the top for. If they don't act on them, then they deserve a tremendous amount of shame. So I think it's important in terms of, understanding some of the wait times, understanding a bit more of the patient safety and the work that the health ministry needs to take on, understanding specifically more about the justice system in terms of where the inefficiencies are lying. Those to me aren't they're troubling, and I think they need action. The thing that frustrates me the most is the environment file, because that actually does have partisan implications in it, right? Their math is wrong. In fact, it's not even wrong math. I think it is intentionally misleading is the math that they're actually using. I mean, they're using partisan money for these PR campaigns.
$4 million.
Yeah, exactly, right? To try to, after they said that they were going to let the voters decide, and the voters decided soundly at the last federal election, and then they said, oh, actually, no, we're still going to pursue the legal when there doesn't look to be a viable avenue. So that file to me is just they're ineffective on it, and I think they're quite wrong in terms of actually what they're doing on that file. But I think the other things are good to highlight, and we'll have to see what they do in the next few months in terms of actually proving action.
Yeah, John Paul, one hell of a report today.
I would like to, as a taxpayer, I would like to donate to the 6 hospitals where they had an operation where they left objects in the body after the surgery. I would like to donate a sign that says, we've been this many days leaving objects in the body free. Because I don't understand how how they say that happened, and then they haven't set targets for improvement. That seems like a very easy target to set for improvement. Don't leave things inside of people's bodies. That seems like an easy target. There's a lot of things on here that just, they blow you away, and you almost wonder how accurate they are, because they're almost so big.
Yeah, and you know, you hope that, you know, you'd like to think in the world of healthcare that happens once, there's a big meeting, there's procedures put in place, but not so much. I mean, this would be an even bigger story if John Tory wasn't raising taxes today.
Oh. Yeah, that is something that is happening. The mayor proposing a significant tax hike in order to fund billions of dollars in investments like transit, housing, saying it's necessary to ensure we continue to prosper and doesn't, quote, have our city strangling itself amid continued growth. He spent some time today on the Jim Richards Showgram explaining how this is already a thing.
What we're going to do is continue with something we've already been doing. So people are used to this. There's going to be a separate line on the tax bill that is a levy that is going to amount to 1.5%. That's about $43 a year that is going to help us pay for transit and housing exclusively. And we introduced this a number of years ago as a very special dedicated fund only to be spent on transit and housing to finance the transit plan we have with the province and the housing plan we announced yesterday. We have to pay for those, and we have to put up our share of what I hope will be a one-third, one-third, one-third payment. So there will be an extra line on the tax bill that is a levy specifically for transit and housing.
Yeah, so the opening number there, Laura, obviously $43 a year, but that going to obviously raise to hundreds of dollars over the full period. And a lot of people pointing out, and I think rightly, when they call into the show saying, I'm not making 10% extra in my salary over the next 3 years, or next 10 years rather, how come I have to pay that much of an upage?
It's a really tough political sell, especially in Toronto, where life feels and is so expensive already. So, you know, obviously the mayor there is saying, look, we need to build infrastructure, transit, housing. These are things that residents of this city need. But when it comes down to it, people simply just don't want to pay more. They already feel squeezed. So I think there will be some significant backlash over this from average people, and $43 and you know, and do they trust that is going to stay at that rate, or are they going to think, well, this is only going to go up to hundreds more dollars?
Now, if you're one of those people, Trevor, like I'm a renter, you live in a condo, so yeah. Were those people not necessarily affected through property taxes, although one could argue that your landlord or...
Will affect my rent, yeah.
Will affect your rent with the provincial minimums, that they're going to be able to do that. Are we benefiting from this?
So... this is the cost of being a part of society. Like, this is the cost of being part of a megacity. Like, honestly, here's the thing. You don't like it? Move out of the GTA. Toronto pays less than Mississauga. Toronto pays significantly less than Brampton. So this is the cost. People always complain and moan, oh my gosh, we have no transit. Oh my gosh, there's no affordable housing. Well, how the heck do you think we're going to pay for it? And frankly, it means that we have to increase it to be a share that other parts of the extended GTA are actually paying on their property tax.
Okay, but we're dealing with a situation where we already give the city of Toronto a lot of money as an operating budget and as a capital budget. They get a lot of money. They've had hundreds of millions of dollars in poverty reduction strategies, and I don't see a lot of good that those things have done. Maybe I'm missing a lot of that. We've got $61 million in TTC fare evasion that they haven't cleaned up yet. Why is it always coming back to us first? And if we were so confident about this, and the mayor was so confident about this, why didn't he run on this? Because this is not what he ran on.
No,
he ran on. It's the exact opposite.
I agree with you on that. I think my frustration is, you mean, it costs money to run a city. It costs to manage the roads, to do transit, to run these poverty strategies, to run parks and recreation, to do all the things that matter to us as part of a city. It costs money. And guess who? What? It costs money to be taxed in the city. And Toronto has been paying less than Mississauga and Brampton substantially for a long period of time. Mississauga had to smarten up when the development dollars started to dry up. They turned around and said, we actually have to start paying more in taxes if we want the same level of services. That's what the cost of doing business. The one positive I do think about this plan, though, is that it's a dedicated levy. If this was just going into the overall pot, I would be quite concerned about it, because I don't think any of that dollar would actually trickle down to any new transit investment. The fact that it's a levy, it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable because it's dedicated.
It's a tax.
Yeah.
Use that as a political shield. No, they say, oh, it's all going to go into what? It's going to go into a different pot. It's separate.
Absolutely.
It's a very thin shield.
No, absolutely. But at least it's dedicated funding. It is a tax. Like, we can call it whatever we want. It is a tax. It is a tax increase. But at least it's dedicated funding, so we can actually track the dollars.
Yeah, levy just sounds too, much
nice.
Fun.
Sounds like New Year's Day.
Yeah, sounds like Eugene and family.
Hey, John, you moved out of town. How's that going for you?
You know, I give John Tory a lot of credit because politically, it's always tough to be the guy to ask everyone for more money, specifically on things that might not impact them. Not everyone takes transit. Not everyone is going to need affordable housing. And he's asking everyone to throw into those projects they've created that they now say, hey, we got to pay for them. I get that. But I suggest to Mayor John Tory another idea. What if we set up a GoFundMe? Let's just get a GoFundMe going for all these projects. Because here's the thing. What if the city said, hey, give us $50 and we're going to put it towards these things, but you're going to get a few rides on the TTC for free, or you're going to get some skate rentals. Like, look at all the things that the city has to negotiate. I bet you there would actually be some people that would go, look, I buy into what you're doing. Instead of taking $43 for me on my tax, I'll give you $100, make it tax deductible, and I get some passes for the subway too. Okay, that's cool. I think there's other ways we can look at some of these problems. And it doesn't. The answer doesn't always have to be cut costs. The answer doesn't always have to be raise taxes. Sometimes there could be some innovation in there.
Well, this plan to me sounds a lot like GoFundMe, but with a different word perhaps in there.
It
somewhere.
Never goes away. That's the problem.
Let's talk about this woman. She's 7 months pregnant, suffering from cardiac issues, facing deportation to Bangladesh. Her medical specialists are warning it's unsafe for her to travel. Her baby is due in March. The Canada Border Services Agency, as it stands, want her gone in January. Laura, any sympathy here? Should we be looking at this perhaps a little differently given the circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one, right? I mean, no one wants to be responsible. You know, whether this woman is going to be deported or not, no one wants to be responsible for someone's potential health problems, especially the baby. I mean, she's 7 months pregnant and the child has obviously never done anything wrong. So I think, you know, the government has to tread very carefully here. It's a very tricky situation. And certainly if she gives birth in Canada, then that child would, you know, be a Canadian. So, I don't really know. I don't have the right answer to this one. I just think it's a very challenging situation, and I don't envy either person in either position because I don't really know what the right answer is. If she has health problems and is not able to travel, do you want to be responsible for what happens to her and the baby?
Yeah, Trevor, this is where I look at the bureaucrats and I think to myself, you got to be very careful because the backlash on this, if this woman dies on an airplane and the baby dies on an airplane, that's just a nightmare scenario. I don't know what the answer is, but certainly having her give birth here seems to be the most, I guess, appealing of the options.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't just her saying, I can't travel, I'm pregnant. I mean, a doctor who specializes in high-risk pregnancy specifically wrote that in her place, travel would not be advisable, right? So, like, the doctors are saying this is not a good idea. So you have to trust an expert in high-risk pregnancies when they give that advice. And I don't know what the answer is, to be perfectly honest, right? Like, then if she stays here and then she gives birth here, does that change her claim? Or at that point, do they have to be in prison? Because they stay beyond their deportation notice. I don't know what the right answer is. I understand about the precedent because then you might have other people coming up. But there needs to be a little bit of leeway for these health cases because otherwise we're acting inhumanely. If she has a high risk pregnancy, has an issue when she's flying, or her child does. I mean, we don't need that.
John Paul, final word.
You know, it's interesting. The common sense, easy answer when you hear this, I think most Canadians would say, well, let her stay to have the baby and then we move on. However, I think at some point we have to go with the agency that's in charge and give them credit that they know this story coming out doesn't look good. They know that there is a reason they've chosen to do this. And there are some very serious reasons. And they take those decisions to remove people from the country. They don't take them lightly. And there's a long list of reasons it could be that she needs to leave. And I look at the agency and say, look, it seems like an easy decision to make if it's an easy decision to make. And if they've made the decision that she's got to go, I got to give them credit. We don't have all the facts, so I'm going to, and it's dangerous to assume that they put so much thought into this, they believe that's what's right for Canadians, even though we probably all would disagree with it.
John Pohl, Laura Stone, Trevor Mayo, thank you all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.